Welcome, everybody, to the only tech-savvy radio show, where beauty, art, and technology collide. It's time for our Tuesday version of The Skinny on Beauty, giving you the straight scoop on everything happening within beauty and wellness here in Southern California, with your host, Cheryl Hawley. Hey, Cheryl.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing good. We've missed you here.
Thank you. I've missed being here. It's good to be back. It's a beautiful day, and I'm ready to introduce my first guest, Logan Crowe, Executive Director and Screenings and Event Programmer from Frida Cinemas. Welcome, Logan.
Thank you.
And he's got a really cool name we were talking about before, Logan's Run and all that. I'm dating myself here, but...
Yeah, man, it's a classic.
So, Logan, you know, I love what you're doing in the community of Orange County, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted you to come on my show.
Thanks.
To give you a little bit of exposure and let people know that there is an outlet to, you know, serve the community in an independent way. And so I wanted to start and just talk to you a little bit about your development and love for art and how you transpired that into Frida Cinemas.
Sure. I've been a huge advocate and lover of film since I was a kid.
Right.
And it wasn't probably around freshman year of high school that mm-hmm. I started to get really into sort of avant-garde, independent, foreign cinema. Mm-hmm. We had a theater in Hermosa Beach near where I grew up called the Bijou. And they were our one source for, you know, your Italian films, your Cinema Paradisos and your, you know, Il Postinos, as well as your John Waters and your Midnight movies. And they were kind of our community art house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I spent many a formative year there with my friends who were into the same stuff. And then we got into Twin Peaks and we all sort of found each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, shortly after I got my driver's license, I discovered the New Beverly in L.A. And so that's where I saw a lot of classics. And, you know, it was pretty clear to me from pretty early on that I wanted to spend my life in the film world.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, I was looking at filmmaking. I'm a creative writer. I still write.
Yes.
But, you know, as I dabbled in filmmaking, it started to become clear pretty soon and early on that I liked the creative process, but that the technical process wasn't quite appealing to me. It wasn't enriching me.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I started sharing films and exhibiting films and writing about films and sort of getting more into the film theory and film exhibition side of things that I really quickly realized this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Okay.
And sort of chased after it and learned, you know, how does one book a film? How does one lease rent a theater for the day? How do you take over a space? How do you market that you're doing it? All of it. And it's one of those things where, you know, the more I learned about it, the more I realized I wanted to learn more about it. And you sort of find it that way sometimes.
Yeah, like the producing,
you know,
of it or the production.
The production, right? Of, yeah, showing it, exactly, mm-hmm. and sharing it. Sort of the difference, I guess, between being a curator, you know, who's passionate, right, about getting artists together and doing a show.
Yes.
As opposed to being the artists themselves. And, you know, and some,
right,
people are both. And, you know, certainly it became very, very important to me to continue to bring classics and even contemporary films that are having a hard time finding a home theatrically to the public.
Right. So how do you go about that? I mean, what is the process to be able to get one of these independent,
sure,
films?
Well, we started with classics, and with classics you jump on IMDb Pro, which is an amazing resource. IMDb mm-hmm. in itself is amazing, but there's a pay-for feature that gives you a little bit more in-depth information. And any film that you look for, it'll have the distributor. Then you call the distributor. And even that's not always that easy because films get sold and moved around so,
yes,
much. And it's hard. And IMDb doesn't keep up. Or, you know, it's still a Fox title, but you have to call Criterion to book a Fox, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
You sort of learn the how that works. And you just you set up an account with them. You tell them this is the venue and this is where we want to show it. And for the first 4.5 years we were doing this without a venue of our own. So we would be called what is referred to as a four-wall organization. We rent the four walls to put on an event. So we were four-walling.
Wow.
So they'd say, is this your venue or are you four-walling? We're four-walling the art. We're four-walling this theater, that theater, the Vista and Silver Lake. And, you know, back then what we would have to do is we would have to rent the venue,
mm-hmm.
rent the title. You had to pay exhibitors' fees. And then play the film, return the film, and that was it. But the first one we did was so exciting because, you know, I started a blog called mm-hmm. Mondo Celluloid. It was a MySpace blog first, and then it moved on to its own website. And what I did was initially just help. This is, 2007, 2008, 2009. Help existing art houses in Los Angeles, where I was living at the time, have a sort of social hub amongst themselves. Those people that were going to those films. I was, the New Beverly has their own website now, but 5-6 years ago, they were hosted by another website company. It was hard to find their show times.
Oh, and so I see that.
So I created this. And what was happening was a lot of people were emailing me and saying, can you show this film? Can you show that film? As if we were the producers of these events. And we'd say, no, no, we're not showing anything. This is a site that we set up. But it just sort of inspired me to try. So the very first book film I booked was Faster Pussycat Kill Kill by Russ Meyer for the Vista Theater in Silver Lake. And, you know, I started to do research and I went online and found out that the film was still owned by Russ Meyer. So then he had just passed away. So then I found contact information for his estate through his website and spoke to, I guess, the woman who was his personal assistant for the last, like, 30-plus years. I ended up going to his house in the Hollywood Hills to pick up the big, heavy 35-millimeter prints of the film. It was surreal. And it was just this, like, perfect experience of, you know, this wide-eyed sort of would-be programmer driving, like, right underneath the H, you know, because he lived literally up there. I mean, you know, the Hollywood sign sort of towering overhead. And, you know, meeting this woman and seeing a little bit of his house and sort of his art, you know, the art and the posters, and picking up the prints and taking to the Vista and watching them, you know, thread the film and all of it. And, you know, it's just one of those things where you have a eureka moment and you're like, this is exactly what I want to do.
Now, did you do anything prior? Is this just all passion, or did you go to film school or take any art classes?
Sure. No, it's both. I mean, it was it was certainly passion. I did go to film school. I went to I started at Long Beach City. My intent was to transfer out, but it didn't take more than, like I said, a year and a half before I was like, this is not quite what I want to be doing. The I admired that that there were people there that were really, really big into the technical parts of it. And I'm still friends with a lot of them to this day. But the, you know, the way that that film school was focused, and from what I understand, a lot of them was 99% technology, 1% creative and narrative storytelling.
Correct.
And for me, that's always been the thing that's been, well, film theory and storytelling are what really drives me. And I think somewhere in my naive head, I thought, you know, that's what I want to focus on, and then let the cinematographers take their course and let the sound people take their course. And, you know, I'm just not a very technical guy. So after a few months of light readings and light measurements and sound, my brain was starting to fry.
How funny.
I was like, yeah, I want to go back to writing. And so I went back to writing for a while.
I love to write myself, but I went to film school. And I loved that part of the cinematography. And, you know, and I love the whole production, but in the sense of independent films and arts, I do enjoy that better because it is more about the community and, you know, the person and their story. And so when you went to go pick up that roll of film, you know, you kind of got a little bit more personal with the artists themselves and you can connect better.
And I admire that. I mean, I admire filmmakers like, you know, James Cameron or Steve Soderbergh that you can just tell they are into each and every element of, that's fine, I just put them two in the same sentence, but I mean, but in terms of filmmakers that you
know. We won't hold you again. We'll edit it out, Paul.
Well, and the reason I bring up Cameron is because he said a quote very, I mean, you know, and this is way back around The Abyss, I think it was, that he said this quote, and I remember it resonated with me, is, if you're a director and you don't walk home with dirt under your nails, you're not a director. Like, if you don't walk home with dirty hands every day, you're not making a film. And I remember thinking, that's admirable, you know, but for me, it's like the equivalent of, gosh, I would love to fly a plane. And then you take a look at that, you know, the motherboard, whatever you call it, the cockpit, all the buttons and lights. And you're like, I don't want to learn that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. I just want to learn. I just want to fly a plane.
So start like not start at eight. Just go all the way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, I've loved that there are filmmakers out there that, you know, that's the craft they want. They want to craft their films, and they are so into, you know, Soderbergh shoots a lot of his own stuff himself, and stuff. And then you've got, you know, your Woody Allens. I mean, Woody Allen will never make a Star Wars. I mean, he could. He could go sci-fi, but I'm saying he's very clearly interested in character and dialogue.
Yes.
You know, a lot of minimalism and is able to be just as sort of transfixing. Different styles, obviously. But,
definitely different styles. Yeah. You know, and I'm glad you brought that up because I know that, you know, you're an art house, but what we were talking about films, I think, you know, you offer a lot more. So kind of give us the definition of an art house.
Well, I mean, there's sort of a streamlined definition. There's a great group called the Art House Convergence that has formed, and I want to say last year there were about 420 delegates, and it's basically art houses across North America, Mexico, and Canada. Although I think last year we had some UK and Australia in there too, so it's starting to expand.
Yeah.
But it's basically a collective of art house programmers, board members, etc., who meet once a year in Utah in the week leading up to Sundance and have their own conference. And it's separate than CineCon, which is like big, you know, AMC, everyone. Mm-hmm. And they have a definition. I want to say it's a mission-driven, community-focused cinema dedicated to the love of cinema. Something I'll write paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. But the two things are mission-driven and community-focused.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take from that and expand it. I mean, I've certainly subscribed to that. That's exactly what I've always wanted, what I visualized my cinema to be, was a cinema that was tapped in and serving its community, as well as driven with a mission, the mission being to celebrate film. But I also think that, you know, some of the best art houses I've been to, I think of the Castro in San Francisco, they lend themselves out to live theater, community engagements. You know, you're at the Castro one day and they're showing Harold and Maude, and you're there the next day and there's an opera, and then you're the next day and it's Gummo.
It's fantastic.
And Cine Family, which is doing a lot of really cool multimedia things up in Los Angeles. I admire them like crazy. And then also you've got your New Art, which is doing a lot of contemporary films and also you know, some classics, usually late midnights. You got your New Beverly's, which is all classics, the occasional contemporary, then you got your American Cinematheque, which is in the middle and it's doing both. I mean, I think it really comes down to, you know, we've had that conversation on the street a lot in Santa Ana. Are you guys going to be doing more classics? You know, are you guys going to be more independent? And for me, it's like we want to do all of it. We want to do student films, we want to do classic films, we want to do film festivals. We want to make ourselves available to curators who've had an idea for a festival or for an event. It's just as exciting to me to work with an outside interest, whether that's a film festival programmer or just somebody that wants us to have a one-off event, and help them realize that event and make it happen in our theater, as it is to program something myself. And we've only been open shortly over a month, but we've had, you know, an amazing documentary that was brought in by it was the National Women's Democratic Club of Orange County and Planned Parenthood. They teamed up to do a film. We've had a premiere of a documentary called Assault on El Capitan, where the filmmaker found out about us and said, I have this film, I'd love to show it. I'm like, oh, tell us more. And yeah, we can do that. We have our first play next month. We have the Vagina Monologues coming.
I saw that on the website. Yeah. I was like, yes!
For a great cause. Yeah. And it's SAVES, S-A-V-S, which from what I understand is the only women's rape crisis center in the entirety of Orange County.
Oh, wow.
And they need help.
Yeah, so the community is really coming in and gathering.
Sure.
I love that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we get back from our break.
Great.
Do you want a free analysis of your inbound marketing? Do you want it in 30 seconds or less? Then check out Marketing Grader, the free marketing tool from HubSpot. It's simple. Just go to marketinggrader.com, enter the URL that you want to analyze, and Marketing Grader will instantly give you a detailed report grading your lead generation, mobile marketing, social media, competitive benchmarking, and more. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's free. MarketingGrader.com.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3 with triple points on airfare. By 2 with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
All right, let's get back to more about the independent art scene growing here in Santa Ana. And let's start by giving the name of the theater here. We want to make sure we get that out here. What's the name of the theater?
It's the Frida Cinema. We're at 350 East 4th Street in Santa Ana.
So you're part of that hip vibe that's happening around 3rd, 4th Street restaurants and bars and some other stuff. Where did that pop out of? That sort of surprised me. I don't know, maybe it didn't surprise people in the neighborhood, but out of this very hardcore rundown area, this whole real cool artistic community seems to have sprung up.
I grew up right after high school. I moved to Silver Lake and Echo Park in that region. So I saw something very similar happen.
Right.
You know,
rundown area turns into a hipster hangout here.
I think part of it is there's a couple things at play. I think for me personally, part of it was there is an area that's close enough to the city that still has a lot of sort of on the ground culture. I enjoy living in Silver Lake where I could just get up, walk down to this independent coffee house, not see a Starbucks in sight, have a pupusa and read my paper. And that there were these little independent venues like Spaceland and mm-hmm. Silver Lake Lounge to listen to music mm-hmm. while not being in the middle of Hollywood and having to deal with a lot of traffic and having to deal with, you know, a lot of bro culture, for the lack of a better word. And what happened, you know, in Silver Lake is it blew up pretty quickly and a lot of people actually left, you know, and so.
Well, right, the right people.
Yeah, right. Including myself. So,
oh, no.
You know, I think that it's, you know, what's very comforting about Santa Ana is that whereas the same thing started to happen, and I think it started to happen with the art scene, mm-hmm. there are just countless incredible talents in Santa Ana making amazing art, and by art I mean everything from your graphic art to spoken word to t-shirt design to street graffiti art. I mean, just all music. I mean, all over the place. And I think it's attracted other artists to come in and sort of be part of that.
Yes.
With that came food. And with that came drinks.
Yes.
And so now you've got...
And that was all born, right.
Yeah, now you've got these gastropubs, now you've got these... But what's interesting to me and what I hope to be part of is, you know, the confluence between the community that has been there and this new community that's coming in.
Yes.
And I find that even at the Frida, the more I'm able to collaborate with the local community and really get them to understand, and I mean it sincerely, you know, we're here to serve you guys. We're not here to start a new scene, you know?
Right.
It would be a failure to try, and it's not my MO. It's just been really exciting. You know, we worked with a young group of, the curators that the Santa Ana Artista Coalition, I hope I get that right. And, you know, we want to do an art show every month in our lobby to participate in Santa Ana Art Walk, which is this amazing first Saturday's event.
Yeah,
it's massive.
Yes.
And so the first one we did was I just went straight to a local curator and I said, you know, we're doing a lot of female themed events this month because it's National Women's Month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How would you guys feel about something that ties into that? And so what they did was curated a show that was entirely made up of female artists. And it was amazing. And now next month, we're doing controversial films. So I went to a different curator and I said, controversial cinema, what do you think? So then on the 5th, we'll have a new show that's all art inspired just by that very simple theme, controversial cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that means to the artist, they can go with
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of, I mean, it's exciting to me to give up the walls to these creative talents and mm-hmm. also to be part of just the very, very basic theme establishment, but then
for
let
sure.
the curator and the artist go with that whichever way they want to go with.
Right.
That's fun. And to me, that's how an art house should work, is don't just curate everything. Don't be the guy that tries to come up with everything. Just being able to have a space like that is perfect.
Right.
I got one more little question. Was it a movie house before, or is it just a building that you're...
No, it was a movie house. It was a movie house. It was called the Metropolitan Fiesta Twin. Metropolitan is a chain out of Santa Barbara, and they have, I think, 8 or 9 screens, or theaters, I should say. And this is one they've had since 83. And what they did was they would do first-run movies with Spanish subtitles for the local community that was Spanish language. So, for example, right now they would probably be screening, whatever the number one movie is, Noah, let's say, with Spanish subtitles and or dubbed. And, you know, what started to happen was, from what I understand, they were serving a huge need for a long, long time in the 80s, 90s. But as sort of the generations have shifted, and then with the proliferation of film houses everywhere and, you know, multiplexes that are playing the same thing on, you know, 6, 7 screens at a time, it was a rocky road, and they would have amazing weekends, but pretty slow weeks. And so, between that and obviously the shift to, digital cinema, it was looking like a transition was imminent. And so from what I understand, the property owners looked at the space, and there was some conversation about, do we turn it into a giant restaurant? You know, if we keep it a theater, what kind of theater? What do we do with this? And fortunately, I had done some work with the owner of Chapter One, Jeff Hall, there in Santa Ana.
Yeah, Jeff.
Okay.
We used to work together.
Oh, right on. Yeah. And Jeff just happened to say, you know, there's this guy, Logan. He's got this amazing organization in Long Beach, and he has been slamming his head against a wall for 5 years that he doesn't have a theater to do it in. And, and maybe there's an interest. And so, you know, I met with the property owners, and I had a very, very basic understanding of Santa Ana, which was it's got an amazing art walk and it's got an amazing cultural hub. And that's about as much as I knew.
Yeah.
That's something to start with. And so I was very curious.
Right.
I spent a good 3 months just talking to different people, talking to the zine, Santa Nerda zine, talking to the artists, talking to everyone from the restaurant owners to the individuals. I speak Spanish, so I was having conversations just across the board.
Right.
And it just really quickly became clear to me that this was a perfect community for an art house. I knew that it would be a little challenging because with all the change that's happening, the transition from a theater that was providing Spanish language films to one that's not would be challenging. So I knew I had my work cut out for me to explain sort of what our mission was, and that whereas
you knew Spanish,
right? And, well, that and, well, to as whereas we will not be providing that, we're going to be providing this. So you know, perfect example would be last week. You know, there's a group called Barrio Writers. They're an amazing group of young poets that you know, and I'm so behind their mission statement because personal storytelling is so important to me. That's how you find your voice.
Right.
And it's an amazing group. And
it's like a group of teenagers, 12 right?
12 to 19.
Yeah.
12 to, I believe 12 to 19. And, you know, they every year they have this great workshop, and then they have this live reading. And I went to theirs last year, and I could tell it's challenging. They're getting up there. They're reading some very personal things.
Is that what you consider spoken word?
That's one example.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, everything from, you know, slam poetry to, get up there with a violin. You know, I don't know if there's a different term for that, but I would say spoken word with a violin. So, but unless you're singing.
Music
then,
speaks.
Then you're singing, But, you know, it was important to me that they have this beautiful space. So, I reached out to them and I said, hey, do you want to have your next event at the Frida? So again, you know, it's making sure that I'm communicating, look, you know, this theater, you know, and not, this isn't a slam on the previous owners or anything, but this theater had never presented itself as a theater that would bring in art shows, that would let artists hang their art in the galleries, that would bring poets in, that would allow for a fundraiser for a women's shelter, for a rape crisis, that would do these things, that would do, we did a fundraiser 3 weeks ago for OC Food Harvest, you know. We'll be doing this now. What we won't be doing is predominantly doing subtitled films. We're going to do some, obviously, because I want to serve the community.
Definitely.
But that dialogue has been very, very important. Just to show this is a change of missions, but we're very much still a cinema because that's been a big concern. You know, I found, which has been really interesting, is from talking to the community, their concern was less, is this theater still going to show films that are accessible in Spanish? And much, much more, will this still be a cinema? That's been the number one question. Mm. Like, is the cinema going away? And it's like, absolutely not. No, 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 no. It's like, okay, good. Thank you. You know,
It's actually and growing there. And diversifying and offering back a lot more to, you know, the vast community around Santa Ana. Because I know Santa Ana's been going, you know, it's under construction for the last, I don't know, 5 years that I've known of. And it's just become this fresh and vibrant little area where, like you were saying, there's a lot of things happening there. And I think it's a perfect place for you to initiate this. Because I know when I was going and, you know, I was watching a lot of films and into the spoken word and slam poetry and stuff, I had to drive all the way up to L.A. You know, and I know that there's a lot of other people in Orange County that have this creative voice within them, and you know they would love to do it closer to home. You know,
and it's been, you know, a lot of the it's just been great. Right now we're playing Lars von Trier's Nymphomaniac, which is a very racy film, but a I think it's an astonishing film. I've seen it twice now, and very surprising, and actually, for the lack of a better word, how good it is. And a lot of people, you know, we've been having a lot of conversations in the lobby. I love to talk to people after the film.
But yeah.
And, I mean, it has been unanimous. Like, oh my God, that was so good. And did not expect that. But what's been interesting is, you know, a lot of the people that had been seeing it stumbled upon it. Just they're walking down the street, they see the bill, what's this? You know, and you know, we're establishing that base of, you know, the not people coming in, but even just from the local community. There was a girl last night. I live right around the corner. This is so exciting.
100%.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
People are going to be coming to you and saying, please help us to do this. Yeah.
And we want to. We want to. Somebody asked us, will you ever do a Spanish language film festival? And I said, what do you have in mind? You know what I mean? Like, let's
do it.
Is that important to you? Because if it is, let's do it, because that sounds great.
Right.
And yes, I think we should do one, but I'd be more curious to have someone step up and say, here's my vision for it.
Right.
And here's how we can sort of tailor it and have it happen. You know, so, and we'll do it.
Somebody tweeted in wants to know, where's the name come from? Is it Frida Kahlo?
I was just going to ask that. That's funny.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's, we named it after Frida Kahlo for a variety of reasons. We actually, we had three different meetings about the name of this place. And I have to, and I want to say, by the time we immediately settled on Frida and really were excited about it, that theater must have had like 27 names, you know, that we even bought like three URLs for it. And every time I just wasn't happy. I would sit with it for a couple of days. I had already bought the website and I'd get the board and I said, I don't like it. I'm just not happy. It's too clinical. It's not passionate enough. So we had this one board meeting and I pulled out a huge sheet of paper and I wrote a bunch of words on it. And it was, you know, words like, you know, integrity, the art, you know, culture, Mexican community, LGBT, what was the big one? Perseverance, just conviction, you know, just a lot of words. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to find something that was just, we want to be a theater that sort of, celebrates, you know, arts in general. And I'm a big firm believer and an advocate of the idea of cinema being an art form.
Right.
It may sound like, well, yeah, that's obvious, but cinema gets short shrift, as does spoken word, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking for grants, culinary arts, film, and spoken word, you know, I think need advocates.
Yeah. Definitely don't do that.
And so I'm a big firm believer in, because we were like, do we name it after a filmmaker? If we want to go after a filmmaker that you think embodied all these things. And I'm like, no, it's just not hitting me. And then it was actually one of our board members that just, Giselle, who just said, what about Frida? And, you know, we always kind of looked at her and I'm like, looking at all the words on the wall, I'm like, you know, that's kind of perfect.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And I thought about, it was like one of those moments where I thought about her sort of, you know, two things in particular. One is her perseverance and her, you know, consistently producing art, and art that I feel is just stunning.
Right.
But that almost goes, I mean, it's almost irrelevant. You know, she created despite everything she went through.
She did. She had a lot of struggles.
A lot of things happened to her that a lot of people would have just been like, I'm going to focus on rehabilitation, drop this creativity nonsense, you know, and she just creating. And two is she created on her own terms.
Yes.
You know, and politically, sexually, lifestyle wise, clothing.
Right.
I mean, she was like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
You know, I hope you get it. Some people did. Some people didn't. It didn't seem to matter to her. Obviously, we never know. But in the way she carried herself and in the legacy she left behind, she is an artist that, for all intents and purposes, coming from, from Mexico and being female and all the rest of it, it's a wonder that she's the icon she is today. And I just respect the heck out of that.
Yeah. So. I love the name. I love it. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the rest of what Frida Cinema has to offer when we get back from our break.
Thank you.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And at the end of the day, the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. So United Way is asking you to make a pledge. Tutor a child who needs help. Mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Be a reader. Tutor or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge now at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
All right, we're talking about the Frida Theater over in Santa Ana in that new hip district off of, what is it, like 4th Street, 3rd Street, somewhere around there?
4th Street.
4th Street.
Yes.
And where, give us the exact address of the Frida Theater.
Sure, it's 305 East 4th Street, 305 East 4th Street, and our website is thefridacinema.org.
And that would be spelled F-R-I-E-D-A.
No E, no E. It's
F-R-I-D-A.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
F-R-I-D-A. So the Frida, F-R-I-D-A.
I'm glad I asked.
Cinema.org, and then we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as the Frida Cinema as well.
Okay.
So I wanted to kind of share with our audience, you do have some Frida art-inspired pieces throughout the cinema, but...
Yeah, what's funny is we've been given, and I had personally had, Frida-inspired art, but I've hesitated to put it up in the cinema, and the reason is that I don't want to intrude on our art shows. So they're kind of like all stacked up in my office right now, and I'll probably put them up in the office and in our hallway, but, we actually... had a couple of board members that are like, you've collected this art, why don't you put it up? I'm like, because we want to bring in art shows. And if we bring in an art show, even if there's one piece that's not part of that art show, I don't want to intrude on the curator's right to the walls, if that makes
sense.
You
could maybe just do it at your one-year anniversary and just have it be Frida-themed.
True. Or I like the idea. Or maybe even throw it out to do a Frida-themed art show.
Exactly. Yeah.
And maybe somehow like have a wall that says, this is my stuff.
Right.
Which I'm lending to the show or something. But yeah.
So we've been talking a little bit about, your passion behind it and how you're working with the community. And I love that you're open to working with all different types of programs that want to, from school, independent.
That's our mission. Absolutely.
Yes. And so you're giving back in a lot of ways in a very short amount of time. And if I'm not mistaken, you've had a great turnout for your audience, correct?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, we've had, it'll always depend on what we're playing.
Yes.
But we had a wonderful turnout. We had our first sort of quasi, I want to say midnight film, but we started at 10 at 11. So,
yeah.
But we did, the Forbidden Zone, which is a zany musical from 81. Mm-hmm. We were just shy of a sellout. I think technically we probably sold it out.
When was this, an opening show?
No, this was about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
But our opening, for example, we opened with the Southeastern European Film Festival, and that was pretty slow. And I think that it was a combination of a couple things. One is our biggest challenge, and I'm sure this is true of a lot of nonprofits, is funding.
Yeah.
We did not come into this with a lot of money. As a matter of fact, when this opportunity was presented to us, we weren't an organization that had been sort of budgeting and preparing to open its own theater.
Right.
So a lot of these organizations, they'll say, okay, we found a space. let's spend the next 3 years raising money. We suddenly were like, hey, do you want this? And you have six.
Right.
You
know. But you've been able to get, you know, people to join and do memberships,
our
right?
So volunteers, right? Yeah, which is wonderful. And our volunteers as well. Yeah.
And so what is that? And like, how does someone get involved as being a volunteer? And what does that mean?
Yeah. I mean, our staff, mm-hmm. we have two managers.
Okay.
They're awesome. Frank and Nico. And Frank and Nico, actually, we kept from Metropolitan. They had each been at Metropolitan, the theater before us, for the last 5 years.
Okay.
So as soon as I met them, I'm like, you know, if I'm able to make it happen, can you guys stay? I'd love for you to continue to be part of this theater.
Very smart move.
So they're great guys.
Yeah.
You know? And so, so they're both managers. Everyone else you see in there is a volunteer.
There okay.
are, yeah, everyone. So, I mean, we've had days where we need to streamline this process a little bit. But, you know, you've had days where there's like 12 kids there and we're like trying to find, you know, work
right.
for them to do. We're slowly working it out.
Right.
And then, you know, we've had a couple and, where we're like, there's no one here, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll always have a manager on staff, and then I'm usually there. But there's a volunteer tab on the website. If you go on the freetocinema.org, it's right
okay.
on top. You know, volunteers, it's fun. They, you know, talk, you know, if you're a film guy or film girl, it's a perfect place to spend a few hours because you will end up talking films with me and
right.
the staff. And
so do you kind of, do you have like a little, you know, beverage bar or do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a concession bar. Volunteers mm-hmm. get free soda and popcorn during their
okay.
shift. And then also we track your hours and we have little premiums along the way, memberships after
yeah.
certain hours.
Good. You know, and I'm sure yeah. a lot of them are independent artists themselves, so they can help you get the word out.
Yeah. And it's been such a blast just talking movies with,
good.
With one person after another. And,
yeah.
and our volunteers range from all ages too. I keep saying kids, but no, we have a lot of adult, you know, volunteers. You know, it's just a great space.
Do you voice that through social media at all? Or what could, you know,
we
someone
have,
see on one of your channels?
Sure. On our social media, we try to blast every single day. Here's what's playing today.
Okay.
We use our Instagram to, you know, find sort of iconic pictures from the films we're playing and say, here's what's coming up.
Cool. How's
Twitter,
that channel going?
It's going well. We're over 500 followers on Instagram, and I dig Instagram. It's a fun little site to just sort of, you know, communicate things visually.
Mm. You started that channel, though, like a year ago, didn't you?
I started all my channels a year ago. I started early.
Yeah, I'm giving them a high five over here.
Yeah, we're over 3, somebody asked us, like, you guys have been open a month. You have over 3,000 Twitter followers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, as soon as we picked the name, like as soon as we were like, is this the name? Are we good on this?
I remember talking to you
yeah.
like a year ago about
yeah.
about all of this.
Yeah.
So I was impressed with that. So that was good.
Well, thank you.
Which one would you say, because you have Facebook, you have Twitter and Instagram, and it's all The Frida Cinema.
Yes.
Which would you say has most engagement? Not
I
followers,
think,
but engagement.
I think the Facebook.
Okay.
Because with Facebook, we're able to put up trailers. We're able to share. We share other people. So, for example, our community, if someone's got an event that's coming up and we want to help them, you know, help support it. If Out of Left of the Dial has a record store, if Tecadilla's got Guadalajara, you know, we like people to know that we have this amazing restaurant right next door, Tecadilla's got Guadalajara. A lot of people don't know that it's open until 2. You know, so we'll just randomly say, hey, folks, it's, you know, it's 1:30.
Do they not have their own social media channel?
I don't know if Tecadilla's got
Yeah, they probably don't. Channel. So that's good.
I bet they do. But, you know, things like that where you know, Facebook allows you can't share, unless I haven't figured out how, you can't share someone's photo on Instagram, you know what I mean, with your following.
You can repost it, but
you can repost
different.
It, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Twitter, you know, it's I love Twitter. Just to like retweet, but it's Twitter always seemed a little impersonal to me. I don't know.
Do
what
you
it
blog
is about
on freetocinema.com?
I don't.
Or is it .org?
I want to.
It's .com, right?
Maybe we can talk about that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You should tie in your personal blog.
Maybe we should talk about that. Because we were talking about that before the show. I'm trying to figure out
what
my boundary is for blogging when you're running a theater. In other words, if you're the curator of an art show and you
yeah.
want to write critically about art, you run the risk of...
You do.
You
could start with reviews. I think that would be
yeah.
great. You know,
so.
and have people do testimonials and things like that. Through
sure.
That. Yeah, that
That's
would be great.
Point.
I loved having you on the show today.
Thank you.
And I'm really excited about your involvement in the community and what you have coming up.
Appreciate it.
So before we close out, what's the next event that you have coming up?
We're in the middle of our Lars von Trier retrospective, mm-hmm. so we have Nymphomaniac for this
okay.
week and the next week, and then we have the sequel. It's actually a two-part film
okay.
after that. In terms of what's happening in our second auditorium, we're a two-auditorium theater,
okay.
We have Zentropa today, and then we're doing Manderley, Dogville, and Breaking the Waves. Of a beautiful digital transfer of Breaking the Waves that we're
awesome.
Doing.
Awesome. And they'll be able to tell that on the website.
It's all on the website.
And it's Frida Cinemas.
TheFridaCinema.org. At thefridacinema.org, F-R-I-D-A. And the next week, we have a great art show coming up, the Controversial Cinema Art Show. We have a midnight screening of A Clockwork Orange on a great 35-minute
Ooh, I'm
print.
Going there. You sold me.
And then we're doing Do the Right Thing, The Last Temptation of Christ, and Natural Born Killers as part of a series of films that we wanted to discuss controversy. There were films
good.
Critically acclaimed, but controversial upon the release. And there's information on our site as to why we picked those films. And we're working on a special guest for a couple of them. I'm knocking on wood, but we'll announce that soon.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to get it from this showing here.
Well, there you go.
Thank you, Logan, for being with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Tech Savvy Radio Show, where beauty and art and technology collide. The Skinny and Beauty, Tuesdays at noon, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net.